good evening. I'm Melissa Idris and you're watching Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. I'm delighted to introduce my guest today, Datuk Sri Maimunah Mohamad Sharif. She is the Executive Director of the United Nations Human Settlements Programme, better known as UN Habitat, which is the arm of the UN that looks at sustainable urban development. She joins us from the UN Habitat headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya. Datuk Sri Maimunah, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I understand that you have just wrapped up the 11th session of the World Urban Forum in Poland, which ended, I believe, with a call for urgency in correctly addressing rapid urbanization. And if I may quote you, you said, if we don't get cities right, more than 68% of the global population will face serious problems or challenges. Now, Sri, if I may begin our conversation there, looking at what is at stake, what are those problems and challenges that we will be facing if we don't get our cities right?
Thank you very much, Malisha. A very good morning from Nairobi, Kenya. I'm very happy to be on your show, and thank you, and a very good morning, Malaysia. Yes, as you said, that we just concluded our 11th session of the World Urban Forum in Katowice, Poland, 5 days, and then discuss about cities and how the theme was transformed, how to transform cities into the better urban future. I'm very happy that the World Urban Forum went well despite the challenges that we face now with COVID-19 and with conflicts nearby in Ukraine. And we received over 22,000 people registered. I'm so happy to attend in person and also online, and from 155 countries were badged and attend in person. And I'm very happy that the 9% of the participants were from Asia, and almost 200 participants from Malaysia. So this is a strong support of Malaysia, and also your team were there. And more than 1,200 local and regional government representatives attended the forum. Malaysia been headed by the YB Datuk Sri Rizal Marikan, the Minister of Housing and Local Government, and with a team from the Malaysian Association of Local Authorities, from the other GLCs in Malaysia. I'm very, very happy. And at the end of the 5 days, I think that is the what was discussed is that I always put across, and this is also aligned with all the outcomes of the 5 day discussion with all the stakeholders. Cities now face the 4C crisis. I would say it's COVID-19. COVID-19 is 1C. Second is climate change. Third is a conflict or crisis, and the fourth is capital. So it shows that not only in Malaysia, in all globally, all the cities are facing the same challenges, and the rate of urbanization is very, very high, especially in Africa and also in Asia. So I think it's one of the areas that we would like to see, as you put it right, we have to make our cities right, because by 2050, nearly 68% of the population will live in cities, including Malaysia.
Can I just jump in there very quickly, Datuk Sri, and ask you, maybe you can clarify what that means. What does it mean to get our cities right?
Yes, what it means is that we need a better plan and better managed cities. In a way that we, once we have better plan, better managed, we also need to implement the plan. That's why I call upon declared action. Because we have been talking about strategy, about policy, about tools. But if we have all these policy strategies, either at the national level, local level, if we don't translate it or localize it or implement it on the ground, they have the positive impact to the community that we serve, then it will be create a lot of problem: urban sprawl, traffic congestion, pollution, unemployment, slum, and also squatters in Malaysia, we call it, but other countries, they call it slum. So we need to plan, we need to have a plan-led development in cities. It's not forgetting also the rural areas, because we have the very clear link between rural area and also the city or urban or metropolitan. Over to you.
I want to come back to the problems and the challenges that we're facing. You talked a little bit about the slums, the issues, poverty being one of them, with rapid urbanization. And if I may cite the World Cities report that was just released, it identified what they call a high damage scenario, worst case scenario, if we don't get our cities right. That is, the number of people who will be living in poverty might increase tremendously, 2 million by the year 2050. Can I ask you to explain a little bit about how urbanization exacerbates poverty? I'm wondering, because what can then cities do to create more urban equity?
I would like to put it to put through that if a well-planned, well-managed urbanization, it become an opportunity to us. Many mentioned that urbanization is the cause of poverty. To me, no. If we are well planned, well managed, because cities is the engine of growth. Cities is the hub of talent and creativity. Cities is also where the investment are. But we need a well planned, well managed, plan led development to take the opportunity for the cities. And this is very clear in the World Cities report. As you mentioned, when we launched during the World Urban Forum, we came up with six findings. One is that whether you like it or not, the future will be urban. Urbanization is unstoppable. We cannot stop urbanization, but we can plan well with urbanization, and we can governance the positive part of the urbanization if we plan well. That is one. Second is COVID-19 is really put people poorer. In 2020, it was 119 to 124 million poor people become poor. But in 2021, increased to 163. The poorer become poorer, the poor become poorer, and the medium income people become poor. The third is that is on the in the informal employment. From our study, that the GDP or the growth of the cities is also rely very much on the informal settlement. So the report, I remember, it said that we shouldn't punish the informal settlement, but we should be supported. We should support, but in a way that we can gain the positive vibe from the informal. Third is on the new social contract. What is the new social contract here is that, Melissa, because there will be a link between the national government, for example, in Malaysia, state government and the local government. There must be a clear responsibility, clear authority in terms of decentralization of power and authority. Because the people on the ground, they are looking at the local government. I was a mayor before in Penang. I know the first thing they will go is they don't go to the prime minister, they will go to the mayor. So I think there must be a new look into the new social contract, not only in Malaysia, also globally. Fourth is, of course, is climate change linked very much to the urbanization. If you don't do your urbanization right, you don't look into the policy, the land use planning, in terms of the tools, and then if you keep on cutting trees, you keep on cutting a lot of hills and all that, even though you dump a lot of million of funding into clearing the pollution, clearing the ocean, the money will just go to waste. And we need to have a one ecosystem between sustainable urbanization in one ecosystem, and that link to the one ecosystem in terms of governance too. That is okay. What my message is, that we need to look into one holistic vertical integration and horizontal integration. What I mean is that vertical meaning that from global, maybe the UN, Global World Bank, to the government, to the local government, and the horizontal is the private sector, community, NGOs, youth, women's group, and disability. We need to work together. We cannot work in silo. That is one of the messages that I would like to put through. Over to you.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right that a holistic look is definitely needed, particularly if you want to make sure that cities are both are social, economic and gender equal when it comes to it being inclusive and being, you know, having some kind of diversity and equality. Can we talk a little bit about how to achieve that? Because, again, you know, you think about how cities are being built right now, and it seems like all these inequalities are still literally being built into new places, into the built environment. How can, you know, when you talk about sustainable urbanization, how can that be, how can you incorporate a more social, more socially just city for the future?
Yeah, when you talk about cities, there is one, as I said earlier, one ecosystem between nature built and also built environment, and it's also social equity. I think this is very important. And we are already there. For example, in Malaysia or globally, we already have the new urban agenda, which all the member states endorsed, including Malaysia, in Quito, Ecuador, on 2016. At that time, I was a mayor in Seberang Krai. I attended, and it's already there. But it's only 38 countries who submitted the new urban agenda report to UN Habitat. That's the reason why I put forward the high level meeting in New York on the 28th of April to discuss with the member state what happened. Why you are talking about climate change, you are talking about Sendai framework, you are talking about Addis Ababa, resilient city, but you are not looking into the new urban agenda as a whole. Because the new urban agenda is the how there, and then to achieve the 17 SDG. So my advice is that go back to the new urban agenda, implement the new urban agenda. Not only do the policy, I know that many countries have the new the national urban policy, good. The national industrial policy, good. National agriculture policy, good. But which ministry integrate all this? So we have the new physical plan, new spatial plan. But the new spatial plan, for example, zero down to Malaysia now, they have to be linked with the new physical plan. If the new spatial plan, if not linked to the physical plan, the money part of it, won't work. So my advice, go back to the new urban agenda, look back. I'm very happy Malaysia just submitted the new urban agenda to us. I told YB Reza that they Reza American said, congratulations. I've been pushing very hard for Malaysia to submit because I am the ED of UN Habitat. How come Malaysia is still not submitting the new urban agenda report? So now 93 member states committed to submit, and they would like to do it in the next round. And I'm very happy. And it's also the commitment from the World Urban Forum, from the various level, from the ministerial level, from the local government, and then also from the private sector, from the academia, and from the youth, and from the women's group. They are looking into, we need to implement the new urban agenda, translate it into new national urban policy, translate it to local policy, and then implement it on the ground. So I think that one is very, very important for us in order to tackle all the four C's that I mentioned to you earlier. Thank you. Over to you.
We're gonna take a quick break, but after this, we'll come back and continue the conversation with Dato' Sri Maimunah Sharif in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This. We will be right back. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation with Dato' Sri Maimunah Sharif. She is the Executive Director of UN Habitat, or UN Settlements Program. This after the 11th session of the World Urban Forum has just ended with a call to properly address rapid urbanization and its impact on communities, policies, economies, and the climate crisis. The WUF brought together key stakeholders, constituents, and constituencies to discuss strategies and you know, ways to advance sustainable urbanism in their respective cities, Dato' Sri. I'm just wondering, you know, you got to meet all the participants and you attended all the sessions. I'm just wondering what you observed were some of the commonalities in the challenges and obstacles that they face. You talked about the four C's, the challenges, but how are successful cities addressing those, and what are the challenges that they're facing in trying to build resilience in their cities?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I think generally the World Urban Forum agreed on the element of the challenges, the four C's that I mentioned to you. And the World Urban Forum is also a platform for sharing, you know. That's why we have the Urban Expo, where 84 pavilions and that put together by the government, by the local government, by the private sector to share their better practices. I won't say the best practices, their better practices that workable in their countries. Look, take a look at the COVID-19. Many cities turn back and say that we need space. COVID-19, we need space. And many cities turn their city into a bicycle lane. That is this quick win. And they go back to the public spaces. You know that the public spaces, they convert many of the areas into public spaces where people, when during the lockdown, people need to go out. And also many cities looking into the design of their housing scheme. And there are also people that really move forward very fast in terms of a new design of the housing scheme, because if the spread of the COVID-19 also due to the overcrowding. Now you have to as I mentioned earlier, they need to be social distant, but if the house is so small, how can they have a social distance? So we need public spaces. So you can see that many cities turn into their areas into a bicycle lane, public spaces. At the same time, also in terms of innovation, of digitalization and internet. So I think this quick win during COVID-19 is very, very important, and to show that we can do it, because that force, I think the COVID-19 is already a wake-up call. All this while, if in theory you ask the leaders to do it, oh, this is not important, oh, we don't have money. But when COVID-19 arrived, put us into a shock, we can do it. But why can't we continue doing what is good now in more systematically? That's why it's the rethinking of the design of the housing, rethinking the design of the cities. We have already done it, but we need to put it in more systematically. I think that is also came out during the forum. And many people said that of all the assemblies, the dialogue, the forum, enough talking. We want action now. I even mentioned in my closing speech, I said that we have only 7.5 years to go into 2030. Only 90 months, Malaysia, and only 2,742 days left for us to reach 2030. If we don't start now, we don't act now individually as a community, as a country or as a nation, I'm not sure what type of future that I myself or you want to give it to your great-grandchildren in the future. So I think this is the message is action now.
I want to ask you about, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier using the COVID-19 crisis, well, leveraging that for an opportunity to rebuild back better. And one of the stories you talked about was the bicycle-friendly cities. I do want to ask you about success stories, because I think it's important that we hold on to hope that it can be done. We can see it done and implemented well. Are there success stories that you see, particularly in the developing world, where solutions are tailored to specific cities? Because I understand that not all urbanization programs can be transplanted from, you know, off-the-shelf solutions or one-size-fits-all solutions. Are there success stories that you think are valuable to be shared, that we know what it's like when urbanization is properly addressed?
I would like to share for example, I went to Bogota, in Colombia. It's a very successful in terms of public transport. The public transport is successful. Of course, this is developing countries. Of course, you go to Sweden, you go to Norway, they already have very far ahead of the public transport in Bogota. And I also, recently, I went to Kigali, where Chogam, Commonwealth Head of Government meeting in Kigali. The city is very clean. And I met YB Saifuddin, the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Kigali. Even he said, look at that city, it's so clean. The city said, yes. How can they do it? So it's through advocacy, through education. That is when I talked to the President Kagame, he said that holistic, from the child is born until the child, then they go to the grave. That is the holistic way that they tackle in terms of cleanliness. The third one is in terms of the local economic development. When I've been to Mozambique, the Mozambique after the Cyclone Idai, and they've really been wrapped up by the cyclone. And the things that is stand is the resilient building. The resilient building is not affected by the cyclone itself. And I didn't know that the resilient building, the school was actually built using the UN Habitat guideline. I was pleasantly surprised when the minister said that, look, the building stands still. I said, yes, that building is not wiped out by the cyclone because it's built using the UN Habitat resilient guideline. We want more of that. So that is one. And then in terms of public spaces, I've been to Iraq. Iraq, I went to Mosul. I went to the areas that the place called Yarmouk, and how we transform last time a lot of landmine into a big public space. So if we can do that in Iraq or in Yemen, I think there is no reason we cannot do it in Malaysia, because we are a very peaceful country. It's just we need the action and the willpower and the strategy and the action plan. So that is, even in Nairobi, they managed to clean up the Nairobi River. We are trying to clean up Penang River, trying to clean up Seberang Praia River, or even the Klang River in Nairobi. Yes, there are a few kilometers, but the upper part of it, you can still fish swimming inside the river. Can be done in Nairobi, in Kenya. Of course, we were part of it together with UNEP. So there are many, many good stories. But what I would like to share with that, these good stories, the reason behind it is successful is the leader. Is the commitment of the mayors on the ground. They want to change. And they don't really afraid of failure. They don't afraid of failure. They just go. And we went. And then it's not easy to do it. But it's you can see the transformative change. We just don't want change. We want transformative change of cities. But this is three things. Leadership, governance, we need the rules. We need the carrot and the stick. And also we need the capacity, the human resource, the technology, and also the innovation as an urban solution. So these are the areas that I would like to stress as far as urbanization and cities are concerned.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Datuk Sri, for speaking with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Melissa. I hope to see you again. I'll be back in Malaysia in August.
That was my conversation with Datuk Sri Maimunah Sharif, Executive Director of UN Habitat. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Signing off for the evening, I'm Melissa Idris. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.